I will start from this picture showing actual state of famous stratocumulus deck west of California coast. And it's in satellite loop, which shows you it's a nighttime image, which is infrared. And whiter color in infrared means lower temperature of emitting surface, means higher clouds. So you clearly see that these clouds, which appear white on daytime light, when there is a reflection of sunlight over here.
Night lights go off.
So these are low-level stratocumulus cloud, which temperature is not very much from the temperature different
so
from
you
the.
Say they're cooling in daytime?
No, you have a different spectral range of satellite images here. So at nighttime you have thermal infrared. And on daytime, you have just, you know, visible,
okay, well,
reflected visible.
They somehow faded in.
Yeah.
Obviously, I see it again.
Yeah. But nevertheless, you can distinguish.
You can see it. It's white. Yeah, it's white.
But there's zero contrast compared to.
There is the weak contrast between the sea and the cloud deck.
So, and these are wet clouds mostly, right?
Yeah, these are and this one are much higher. Yeah, these are higher clouds related with larger scale weather system, and you see some low level. I don't think it's high level kind of structure, vertical structure. So if you think in terms of solid stratocumulus deck, it's sometimes like this. It's not always like this. Okay. So what I will talk about. I will talk about research campaign, which was almost 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, almost three, in 2008. And we are flying from the Monterey Bay area through the clouds with an aircraft, trying to sample this kind of clouds.
What you see in the lead there of this big mountain, this is Mount...
This is
the tall one, right? Death Valley is right
Sierra.
There.
This is Sierra Mountains.
Yeah, so, and that one is the, what is it called? You know, the highest one?
The Mount Whitney.
Mount Whitney, right, is down there, right? That's Mount Whitney, where you see the clouds behind it. Mm-hmm. That's the Mount Whitney range. Behind it is Death Valley.
So
that's the one trip you can do from
so here. Was the first title of this talk was Just Physics of Stratocumuloscope, the talk after the campaign, name of the campaign we had. But Eberhard decided to change to Turbulence of Stratocumulostop, and it does not look nice. So I changed it again. Turbulence observed that stratocumulostop toast. And then it's fine.
So you're toast.
Okay. So we will talk about toast now. So this will be our talk. I don't know where it's better to stay here or there. I will try to circulate. So this is how this kind of clouds look from the airplane making measurements. And all what I will talk about is available for a download. All the data are already released and are available in the open database, which is maintained by National Center of Atmospheric Research. So we are trying to figure out what's going up on the top of stratocumulus. And we had a small research aircraft. There could be only two researchers on board during the flight. And an aircraft was intensely equipped to measure different properties of clouds, not only of turbulence. So we had a group of sensors located in front radome of the aircraft, and there was a turbulence probe. You see small dots here. These are dots for differential pressure. When you make differential pressure measurements from the left and right hand side, you have information about transversal velocity, and the same is up down, and there is dynamic pressure measurements, which gives you information about velocity component along the flight of the aircraft. So these are turbulence sensors. So there were a couple of sensors to measure humidity And I will focus on these two particular sensors. This is our sensor from my group, fast response thermometer. I will tell a couple of things about it. And this is a liquid water content measurement sensor by Hermann Gerber. They are the fastest sensors here. Other are slower. There are other sensors. There is a place to collect the air together with cloud condensation nuclei and then measure cloud condensation nuclei on board, but it's fairly slow measurements. These are sensors, different sensors, which measure cloud droplet sizes and droplet distribution. This is the sensor which was developed by Ray, and now what was used in Patrick Chung, it's phase Doppler sensor for measuring droplets. So another image shows more or less how these fast response sensors are located. And it's important since we want to measure different properties of clouds as close as possible, especially if we measure at short time intervals with high temporal and spatial resolution. So the distance between these two most important for the stock sensors is less than 50 centimeters. And aircraft speed was a bit more than 50 meters per second, typical true air speed, about 55 meters per second. So it corresponds, so it says that we can assume that 100 hertz sampling data from both instruments were more or less in the volumes which correspond to which are comparable. So what else? I have recorded data 20 kilohertz here, but 2.5 kilohertz data show really good. 1 kilohertz data we put into the database from those sensors. Other sensors have either 40 hertz or 100 hertz or other sensors less.
So
100 hertz, yeah. 1 kilohertz corresponds to 5 centimeter resolution, 5.5 centimeter resolution, 100 hertz to 50 centimeter resolution, 55, and so on.
From the airspeed.
From the airspeed, yeah, from the airspeed, yes.
So one measurement every 5 centimeters.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was doing one measurements every 2 millimeters. But nevertheless, it was, I will show something. And it was more or less the measurement strategy. Well, we usually had clouds denser than you see on this image, but you see that typically cloud motion is along the coast here. This is a typical situation. So we try to fly in zigzag pattern to follow in Lagrangian manner, more or less Lagrangian manner, with the same cloud volume, which passes along the coast. Okay, and on each zigzag, we were penetrating. This is more or less temporal changes of cloud base and cloud top. We try to measure some horizontal, to make some horizontal flights at different levels.
Isn't it tricky to talk about a cloud volume? Because the cloud is not defined, right? So the air volume is defined, but not the cloud.
Yeah. Yeah. Nevertheless, it's more or less cloud top and more or less cloud bottom, just to show the strategy.
And you could fly on the bottom there's no clouds.
Yeah. But we wanted to establish heat and moisture fluxes.
I understand, but it was semantics.
At various horizontal flights, and we wanted to penetrate as much as possible up and down cloud top, which is the key issue. I will show you in a minute why we try to check what's going on there.
700. So the cloud bottom is where? Oh, you have it there, SE base.
Yeah.
How do you know?
You estimate from the single, pops. Yeah.
Really went down.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot, right? 300 meters.
Before you go on, I'm sorry.
Yes, no problem.
So I'm trying to get a scale for these zigzags.
20 kilometers.
So as you go from bottom to top of one of the zigs or zags,
Maybe it will be easier to look later. I will show you some detailed data so you'll have a crude idea how it's going on, okay? So these segments are about 20 kilometers, horizontal segments.
So the obliqueness of the flight is given by the mean speed of the wind.
Right? Yeah. We took it from the weather forecast to try to adjust the flight pattern. Then
you really fly for kind of try to follow the same clouds.
But and I just show you the temperature sensor we are using. It is 2.5 micron wires, two wires here, two sensors. And they are protected from wetting of droplets. And the key issue is to have an anti-droplet protection in front of your sensor and to make aerodynamics such that the droplets, inertial droplets, are deflected by the airflow and they do not hit the sensor, but the sensor is already in relatively, at least behind the stagnation point, behind the sensor. And there is a slot, there is pressure slot, collects droplets, water removes it out, and again it reduces turbulent shedding vortices.
And the front wire is a tripping wire?
It's just experience from the wind tunnel. If you add additional small
tripping wires.
It helps. It.
What is the noise number for this wire?
Pardon?
What is the noise number for this wire?
Which number?
The noise.
For
flight, for velocity of flight, and this.
For the protecting rod, it's about a few thousand. Depending on their speed and so on. Now we are making a sensor which is much smaller and with Reynolds number about a few hundred, depending on their speed. But still, we have problems with shedding vortices. We have these problems here. Yeah. So you see here an example of the data of the signal. So this is time. So this is 1/10 of a second. 1/10 of a second. Corresponds to 5.5 meters. And this is even blow up signal from two nearby sensors. And you see this vortex, which shed from the protecting rod and create adiabatic fluctuations of temperature. These are these tiny fluctuations. This is the solid one is a filtered signal with low pass 2.5 kilohertz low pass filter, and these are 1 kilohertz data we submitted to the database to show you more or less how we measure the temperature.
So typically temperature fluctuations are like 20 centimeters or 10 centimeters is about.
Oh, this is in region of strong turbulent mix.
Half a degree. You can get like half a degree or.
It depends. It depends what is mixing.
It's mixing.
Yeah, it's in high temperature contrast region. I will show later more plots like this, just to show the performance of the sensor in turbulent mixing region. So this is the whole data collected. This is a black line. And this is a signature of vortex shedding from the protecting rod. This is a filtered signal, the blue line. And this is a signal we protected to the database. And this is a signal from the propeller of the aircraft. You know, this turboprop. This is acoustic wave from the turboprop. And this is more or less how it looks in calm air.
The adiabatic effects from the...
Yes. Yeah. And even higher. On low level signal. So just before talking about details of measurements, and this is a typical temperature power spectra, which are measured on various levels. So this the scale is the same. They are not shifted, so they give you real information about the energy amplitude of fluctuations. So this is the lowest one. This is in free troposphere, high above the cloud. And this one here is not far from the region of the cloud top. In free troposphere, when there is small turbulence, but they are wavy motions, probably gravity waves, means buoyancy waves at the interface, which have a signature here. These three signals are relatively low in a boundary layer at height of, let us say, 50 to 100 meters. Well, this is, one is cloud-based, one is 50 meters above the surface, and I don't know why its signal is higher here. I have some suspects, but I have to check with other sensors. It can be a signature of evaporating drizzle. And which cools air. And this is what is just above the cloud top in the inversion layer with high temperature fluctuations. And it's just in a cloud top region. You see much higher fluctuations of temperature above the cloud top than in the cloud top. I will show you later. Above the cloud top is here, and in the cloud top is here. And you see the temperature is black, and the gray is liquid water content. So it says you that here we are in a cloud. You are descending into the cloud. But you will see more plots like this in a moment. So I will talk about two particular flights, and you see that the clouds are visually different in the first. This is a typical one, and the kind of measurements have been performed many times, and it's supposed to be a kind of generic case of stratocumulus, like in DICOMs. It was a daytime flight, but nevertheless, this is, you know, one of these. Going up from the sea level much higher above the cloud deck, and you can have a potential temperature or liquid water potential temperature green profile. This is the strong temperature inversion, which makes very stable layer, statistically stable layer above the cloud top, and this is what's above the cloud. And this is humidity and total water content. So the total water content is a blue. So you see you have here the well-mixed layer, a strong inversion with strong drop of humidity. And this is horizontal velocity components, U and V. And you see clear signature of turbulence and wave motions here, very strong shear in the inversion layer, and more or less slightly changing with height.
And all these kicks in the data.
And this is more the cloud layer. Pardon?
If you put the screen line a little higher, they actually line all up, or are they a little different?
Oh. This is on this scale and on this image they look the same. And it's just for your information. These are the velocity power spectra from this 5-hole probe, recorded just above the ocean surface, and you can clearly see that at lower frequencies we have less energy in vertical motion since we are close to the surface. But higher up, again, the scale should be matched. Scales should be matched on images, so you can compare. And minus 5/3 is just a diagonal. So I try to make plots comparable. And this is inside the cloud, and this is close to the cloud top. So you can't see much from this, except that you should not trust the data below 10 hertz. So these are data from these horizontal flights. So this is important, how to interpret the data. We are descending down into the cloud. The green line is height. Okay? This is time here, and this is height. And the black line here is humidity. The red line here is temperature. And the blue line here is liquid water content. Liquid water content greater than zero means cloud.
So this whole range is happening about 10 meters, right?
Yeah, so and then I plotted 40 hertz data from this and this plot in a function of height. So I've taken it, and it's in a function of height. And this is how this slightly inclined, the descent rate is about 1.5 meters per second at horizontal speed 55 meters per second. So it's really slightly inclined motion when we penetrate the cloud. It corresponds to this kind of vertical profile, but this is not a vertical profile. This is not taken by vertical measurement. So you should be aware of this. So it gives you some information about the variability on each.
So the cloud top is moisture, but it's much more intermittent.
Yeah, the cloud top.
The first thing you see is that the blue line at the bottom is pretty solid, and then suddenly.
Yeah. But nevertheless, you see that most of the points are more or less aligned.
So it also fluctuates much, but much
much more fluctuation. Yes, this is a signature of entrainment, and you see them here. You see that inside the cloud, except for the very small region at the cloud top, the temperature fluctuations are very small already, and the most of the temperature fluctuations is due to mixing in this shear layer. So this is another entry into the cloud, and except of height, humidity, there are three components of the velocity plotted here. So again, it shows you that above the cloud, there is weak turbulence, some wavy motions, some weaker turbulence. And you clearly see strong shear. These are velocity fluctuations. The mean value is subtracted. And you see a lot of things going on. And this is we call the total distance here, we call it entrainment interfacial layer with some part which is with very strong temperature gradient and strong turbulence and mixing and shear. And this is another part of entrainment interfacial layer. But again, you are penetrating, you know, these blobs on the top of.
So what you're saying is you have about 20 meters where you get this very rapid change.
Yeah, this is one second. So one second. This is 55 meters in horizontal, and in vertical it's 1.5 meters.
It's only 1.5.
But again, you are traveling at an angle, and you don't know what is the real. You know your flight path, but you don't know how the inclination of the surface you are penetrating, according to Okay.
It looks like more. It's 10 meters, right? The thickness of that layer.
In vertical, yes. In vertical, well, you see. In vertical, yeah, I was talking in vertical. The change of the altitude of the aircraft when we just penetrated this region in vertical, so like it's like this. This is another example. So just to show you, and these are some examples of blown ups of temperature and liquid water content measurements from these regions here.
Do you penetrate this shear layer more than once, or you just hit once?
Pardon?
Did you penetrate this shear layer more than once, or was it traveling with you?
No, we are trying, but we are penetrating different samples, different volumes. This is no, there is some horizontal uniformity, but from this kind of penetration, you have to establish some statistics.
Yeah.
And this is really what I'm working on now, and it's not very clear. So these are 1 second. It means 55 meters long samples, the whole, and this is 2 seconds, 100. The long samples across this region when you have really liquid water and temperature fluctuations together. What is I would like to put your attention that these slopes of filaments of temperature here in this case are very different than you will see in 5 minutes from the second case. So you see that in the mixing region, you see a lot of fluctuations, but generally temperature in cloudy regions is already low, like in the cloud, with some increase or some intertwined.
So when I think about this cloud, so I say I come in and I go down.
Yeah.
If I would fall through the cloud. And a flight,
yeah,
falls through the cloud. Then I would say there is the upper, I don't know, 5 to 10 meters, or this is a very rapid temperature change.
Very
no
rapid
humidity change yet, right? Usually the temperature change was prior to the humidity buildup, right?
So you see here. This is a temperature change. This is a humidity
change.
Like
5 to 10 meters.
But this is above the cloud top. And it's an important thing, since on the other flight we would have a temperature change but no humidity change after. And it changes the picture of small-scale mixing.
No, but here there's a big temperature change but no humidity.
No, temperature and humidity, but no liquid water content. This is liquid water content. You are above the cloud.
Okay, so what it means is humidity and temperature are correlated?
In this case, but...
Liquid water content.
Well, liquid water content, but liquid water content is a small fraction of humidity.
Right.
Okay, this liquid water content is about, let us say, 10% maximum
right,
of humidity.
That builds up then.
Yeah.
But then the temperature stays constant pretty much.
Yeah, then the temperature stays constant.
The liquid water content still fluctuates a lot.
Yeah, fluctuates a lot.
But still, when compared to the upper layer of the cloud, so this area is a more mixed.
Yes, this is just the region of mixing. And these are temperature fluctuations in the region of mixing. So some more just of temperature and liquid water content to show you that it's
right,
just a typical image in this case.
Again, you know, there's the three regimes on the top plot. When you look at liquid water content and temperature, you see the temperatures drop, right?
Yeah.
Then you see that liquid water content is very intermittent.
And very sharply,
it seems to... In this sharpness, does it mean anything, or is it just because you flew through it?
I think it's because of your flew through it, but sometimes, as you see, you see these so-called cloud holes, which then penetrate down across the larger region of
but nevertheless, even on
this is a cloud.
On that one, I see very, very strong fluctuations, which suddenly change the behavior dramatically.
Yeah, so you are but you are in a mixing event, in which you see event, mixing event, and then you are in the, it's intermittent.
Right.
It's intermittent. So this is, again, why it's difficult to make a statistics out of it.
You should speak one more X.
Yeah. And this is more or less the profiles of liquid water content in clouds, which we think are important for different purposes. This is probability distribution functions, and this is already statistics from the whole flight. This is height below the cloud top. So it's everything is stratified with respect to the cloud top. The first moment the liquid water was recorded on a descent. This is the value of liquid water content per grams of condensed water per kilogram of air. And in colors, this is just a probability distribution, okay? The red one is the top. And these lines are median for three different parts of the flight. But nevertheless, the typical picture is that liquid water content increases more or less linearly with height. You have this mixing region above here. And what you see also here, this is total concentration of all droplets, which remains constant in the upper part of the cloud. And this is how this liquid
cloud bottom be of this picture.
Pardon?
You know, how far away of the cloud bottom am I?
I don't know. when you are at the cloud top, you have no.
But how big is the cloud? Typically?
Yeah, typically this cloud was about 300 meters thick, so
one third,
yeah. And this is again the profiles of liquid water content, 1 meter long samples, 40 hertz samples, just to show you this typical image on each profile with intermittency much higher up. And now we come to the second case, which is here. Even on satellite image, clouds seems more broken and more fluffy. And this is a flight track and colors are high. In the previous flight, I did not have such nice presentation. So you see that there are horizontal segments on various heights like here, and these were different penetrations. And if you see, I will show you two vertical profiles. One taken, this is close to the end of the flight, and unfortunately too close to the shore, I think, since we had some interaction with sea breeze circulation, probably. And what is important here, this is more or less typical vertical profile of temperature, total and liquid water content, and wind in this case. This is more or less the thickness of the cloud, the gray box. So what you see here, you see that temperature jump, while the whole temperature jump in this layer, in relatively thick layer, is more or less the same as in previous case. In previous case, it was in a very shallow inversion, and now inversion is much weaker. Shallow inversion is much weaker. It's about 4 degrees, not about 9 degrees like in previous case.
That's 400 meters. That's huge.
Yeah.
It changes over 400 meters.
So it's just a stable stratification here. And strong inversion. And what you see in here, that in the top of the cloud layer, the whole big region of the cloud layer, you have decreased potential temperature and also decreased total water content. It seems that what is well mixed is well mixed from here below in a boundary layer. And this is the wider region occurred in which mixing occurs in clouds in this case, and you have much less humidity jump. You remember the humidity jump over there was dramatic, from 9 grams per 2 grams, and here it's more gradual. So what is the role of the humidity? The role of the humidity is related with evaporative cooling. If liquid water mixes with air of low humidity, it evaporates quickly. If cloud mixes with air of high humidity, it can even not evaporate completely, since then part of evaporation saturates air. So these are quite similar images like previously. And then you see the difference. Much thicker layer of highly intermittent liquid water content. and much thicker layer of, here, strong fluctuations of temperature, and still some fluctuations, not as sharp as previously, but still suggesting some mixing above. And again, typical profiles. Now we are going up from the cloud, yes. We are in cloud and we are going up. What is quite funny feature here, you see this kind of ramp and then more or less constant maximum liquid water content and highly intermittent region above. And you see a lot of big jumps, relatively big jumps in temperature, 2 degrees, very well correlated with jumps of liquid water content. And similar picture here. Some changes of temperature, sharp drop, intermittent mixing penetrating maybe through higher turrets over the cloud. And I've told you about slopes of temperature. And what you see here, these slopes typically are much sharper. These plots are in the same resolution, okay, as previously. So it means temperature gradients are here sharper. Why? Probably they are not affected by evaporative cooling of droplets at the interface. So this is my guess.
So the DNA of the massive scalar with the
yeah, this is more like passive scalar and the previous case there was a reacting interface
before the smooth stuff.
Do
you have some turbulence data? Can you say something about dissipation?
I did not process this data yet. These are the first images I have. The problem is that if you look, I cannot say much about the dissipation rate. I will probably end with variances of velocities on distances of, let us say, 10 meters, since it's very heterogeneous, and I can't make reliable power spectra to evaluate dissipation rate. So these power spectra are on long horizontal legs, so they will look quite nice. But if you make, short stratified pieces. So again, the same images, and you see this is a typical feature of this slide. Again, it's nothing randomly selected, and this is a typical feature. And this is already some preliminary analysis of the data. So liquid water content in average drops in much thicker layer close to the cloud top, and the drop number concentration also drops in the thicker layer.
When you compare these two clouds,
Where
were they located in real height?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It changed since it's quite close to the well, the cloud base was in the previous case 400 to 500 meters, and the tops were above about 700 meters, and here is about 600 meters, and cloud is thicker, 200 meters above the ground.
It's a thicker cloud.
Thicker cloud, but more diluted in the top.
I see, it's more fluffy.
From
the low, it would look white, but not black.
I don't know, it depends on the radiation.
You look through a bump, I don't know.
And what you see here, these are liquid water content every 1 meter when we penetrate it up and down, and you see completely different picture than in previous clouds. From these rare events where we penetrated across the whole cloud, the picture is like this, that you have this fluffy stuff and then more or less typical behavior
so
below.
So the fluctuating velocity was probably the same for this cloud as the other one?
More or less fluctuating. Yeah, RMS were more or less fluctuating the same, but I have to still, you know, it's very slow work since I have to stratify each up and down into pieces
and
there is no general. I did not find a general rule to make it automatically. I would like.
So all this data is online, so to speak. So
Yes. And if anyone has questions, you can ask me. So this is what is in horizontal flight in this second flight below the cloud top. Let us say 50 meters below the cloud top. It's probably somewhere here. These are fluctuations of liquid water content and temperature, and these are correlations of these values, correlations of fluctuations. And depleted liquid water content means lower mass load.
You didn't average it. It's just a product, right?
This is prime. So this is average. Minus.
The average would be just one number. You're showing me a time series.
It's not exactly like this, but it's almost one number. This is some running mean after a quite long distance. Okay,
yeah.
And it's almost. I assumed some scale. Made the running mean and then made the fluctuate.
What is the scale at which you're doing your averaging? For the purple curve. Purple curve is an average.
This is.
It's like a time series to me, but it's an average.
Yeah, this is time. This is what is the distance? The scale here is kilometers. It's 30, 40 seconds, and it's 55 meters per second. So 10 seconds is 2 kilometers between time marks here.
It's okay. Uncorrelated, essentially.
Pardon?
You're saying it's essentially uncorrelated.
They're essentially uncorrelated, except of these cloud holes, except of these regions of depleted water. And typically, they are anticorrelated.
Right.
Typically, in a cumulus cloud, in stratocumulus cloud, they are correlated. And here, they are anticorrelated. When they are correlated, it means that you have, in a cloud, negatively buoyant blob which is going down. You have evaporative cooling at the top, which reduces your temperature and reduces your liquid water content. Okay? So reduction of temperature and reduction of liquid water content, both fluctuations have sign minus, so their product is plus and they are correlated. And here these are for different legs. They are anti-correlated. In a typical cloud, this is PDF from.
So from how do you explain? How do you explain that?
This is the question.
Okay. I can't explain it. I mean, I see no mechanism.
It's probably that it's more important mechanical steering entrainment and mechanical steering, which drives this cloud holes
right.
In this moment.
So what I'm saying is, I guess,
and it's not an evaporative cooling which produces this downdraft across the cloud.
Entrainment of dry air.
But it means that it's against the buoyancy forces, so it has to be some kind of mechanical forcing which drives this mixing.
Yeah, we're talking about go back to the previous slide. You're talking about these downward spikes. Previous. Yeah. So you're talking about the negative correlation results from these predominantly downward spikes.
Yeah, this is negative spikes of But this corresponds, you know, this corresponds to negative spike in liquid water content and positive spike of temperature, and it gives you negative correlation.
But you got to prove that you are inside the cloud.
Yeah, well, I am inside the cloud. It's liquid water content, and I am, below the cloud. Well, what is inside the cloud? Still, liquid water content is above zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's surprising that they're so small, as correlations are. On the time series, you think that they'd be correlation, they'd be quite big. 0.1 is small.
Yeah. Well, but we are this is horizontal leg, not exactly through the cloud top, but if you go to this this image, so we are in here horizontally, you know, in this region. Okay, we are not in the cloud top region here, this region where most intensive mixing occurs, but we are flying through the cloud deck and looking for this. If you see, look at the stratocumulus, this breaks in the stratocumulus deck. How many meters this below? This one was below.
Like 50 meters.
I will tell you it's plotted here. It's plotted here. 1 second.
Is
that
5 15 meters?
So this is from this flight at different heights. I have taken for horizontal. So you see that they penetrate quite deeply. The lowest one is 430 meters, and it's already not as this is PDFs of these correlations. So negative prevail. There are slight positive correlations. Well, very slow dominate, and these are tails of the distribution here.
But go back to the previous slide again. I want to clarify something.
My understanding on the purple curve is that it was said right here that the 0.1 is not much correlation, but those are depends on the units.
These are just correlation of, you know, this is not this is just you know, straight units. There's no non-dimensionalized. Yeah.
I wouldn't call these correlations. Because that leads us to statistics.
Covariance. Yeah, you're right. Covariance. I should take covariance. Covariances. Yeah, I should write covariances.
And I would not put brackets around them either.
Yeah. Pardon?
How about the correlation between the mass?
Sure, that's the next question. Is it slower?
So we have it at lower. So this is triple covariances. And they flip-flop the ends of the distribution, okay?
So negative is also downflow?
Yeah, negative is downflow.
When it heats up, it's adiabatic heating.
Yeah.
It's faster heating than you would expect just by potential temperature.
Yeah. And this is more or less all I had to show you so far. But I think it gives a flavor of working with real data.
More questions than answers.
More questions than answers.
What is successful campaign?
Pardon?
What is the averaging scale for these covariances?
It's running mean of 500 meters, on one second running mean.
Boundary layer depth is.
And boundary layer depth is about 500 meters, 600.
Averaging over one.
Yeah, one boundary layer depth, yeah.
And also you're...
And it's horizontal flight.
You were also basically sampling over the cloud top on similar length scales, right? About half a kilometer.
They are not as deep. They were not as deep, unfortunately, but we had, you know, that...
I realized the cloud top, you know, if that transition layer,
We were sampling about 200 meters. The zigzag pattern was about 200 meters, and we tried to keep a cloud top in the middle. Okay?
But as you went through that 50-meter thick layer, you were covering about 500 meters
horizontal
scale. Right?
So horizontally, it was 200 meters. It was 200 seconds. So 100 seconds, it's about 10 kilometers.
One up and down.
Yeah.
So the issue is that the problem is that Dubai is not in center power. Because then we would have here a tower that's 500 meters high and we could do all this.
Should be a shore. One of these drilling platforms would be better.
But they're not 500 meters. Are they 500 meters now?
No, they are not. But you should build a tower 500 meters on one of these drilling platforms. So.
Yeah, but 500 meters.
No. I'm laughing. It's still.
How big is this building in Dubai? You know, the one that they just built, this one, yeah. Isn't that 500 meters? Is it 500 meters? But there's no clouds.
There are no clouds.
It's boring.
Absolutely.
Well, with global warming, you know, we might get some clouds.
It's also unstable both times.
So if you want to work on this data, you are welcome. Okay? So I will upload it to the website, so you have the click and get to the database.
What about this picture? Which of your cases would it represent?
This is a problem. It's picture taken by Jamal Khalif and he does not remember. but they are still not in the database. But I have to force Huff Johnson, since there was also video camera in a cockpit. And there are films, but they keep it in Sirpas and they did not put it into the database. But I will try to put them. I think so.
No, it would be nice to correlate these things, of course, with satellite measurements from above.
But you know, each flight is about 6 hours, and if you look for this video in real time.
It just only takes 6 hours. You know, what I'm saying is that some of this should be correlated with measurements that people do all the time, LiDAR measurements, and you want to look from above, from below.
No. So in the database, there are also metadata. There are data from numerical simulations of the weather forecast stuff. There is satellite images. They are sounding. It's all in the database. Pardon?
What kind? Ghost, probably.
There is also MODIS and some others. Yeah, there was Nexat in Monterey were collecting data set for during
MODIS. MODIS is
high resolution.
High resolution
imager.
250 meters.
250 meters. So you should see this.
Yeah. So there is all visual. So it's not only information from the aircraft. There is all kind of supporting information on the database.
So
it's a really rich database. And no LiDARs in the region.
No LiDARs.
And sundanks somewhere in line.
You
had to take it from Calypso database. But you can get it.
When they do the measurements in Barbados, do they actually connect them with satellite measurements? Probably, right?
It's standard that in the database, if you have a good experiment, you try to collect as much data as possible.
Now have also LiDAR on the bottom, right? So they would do LiDAR and have the sled.
Yeah, but the LiDAR is in a very different place when they make measurements, and if it's in the ship, goes forth and back, and for the LiDAR you have a long averaging to get anything reliable.
The project on the Zugspitze is to try to calibrate the LiDAR. So the idea is to put a LiDAR system, a near-range LiDAR, down on the kind of on the platform on the bottom, and then to shoot up to the top of the Zugspitze and have measurements right there, and then to see whether the LiDAR measurements actually will be measured there, or whether they're different. They basically shoot at the same area, so they try to...
And in a couple of months...
They basically shoot exactly in that direction to make sure...
Instead of the monostatic configuration, it's going to be able to...
So now we can upload and change. Look how it changed, you know. What has changed?
Well, what's between?
1845, yes.
What is this now? This is right now?
Right now, yeah, updated. Up to 11 minutes ago.
I like this. This shouldn't stay like this. I don't mind. Sunshine.
Okay. So thank you very much for your attention.
Somebody else have the stop.
After being here, it's